Today's talk is on the call of Peter. Now, if you were going to make a movie about it, or write a book about it, what would you call it? Perhaps, Expect the Unexpected, God's Plan, Not Ours. Or maybe, The Value God Places on You. Or perhaps the slightly more biographical, From Fisherman to First Pope, My Life by St. Peter. Or even, Have You Heard God Calling You? Because He is. The scene today begins with the commencement of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and He began to preach, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And a little later, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and He said, Come, follow Me. When we were growing up, that's for those who have grown up, but when we were growing up, we all wanted to be something. And depending on our generation, maybe we wanted to be a cowboy, or an astronaut, maybe Superman, or a soldier, an athlete, a teacher, maybe a film star, or a pop star. We wanted to do something with our lives. Maybe some of us did those things, or maybe we still long for them. Perhaps we still long for the significance of that dream. I'm not sure what Peter wanted to be when he was growing up. He certainly didn't have the benefit of the internet, newspapers and television telling him what he should be. So what did he want to do? Did he want to follow in his father's footsteps and be a fisherman? Or did he dream of finding a treasure hoard and becoming instantly wealthy? Or did he hope to be a great revolutionary leader that would overthrow the Romans and free his people again, a new Judas Maccabeus? But whatever his hopes and dreams had been, he was now a fisherman, making a living, a hard living, on the tempestuous Sea of Galilee, and paying his taxes to the Romans, paying his taxes to the temple, being ripped off by the notorious tax collectors, and probably also paying the notoriously high rents to the landlords. Peter's getting on with the hardships of everyday life, getting on with his job. And one day, a rabbi appears and asks Peter and his brother Andrew to follow him. Let's just stop right there. Many of us are familiar with that story. Perhaps too familiar, over familiar. We read it through familiar eyes, perhaps even shaped by Sunday school stories. I know that's true for me, and it may be true for you too. But this is no easy come follow me bedtime story. It's a story of choice, of risk, and of destiny. And actually, it's a story that just shouldn't be. The calling of Peter is an upside down story. It would have seemed so to the early Jewish and Jewish Christian hearers. Now you might be wondering, well, why is that? So a bit of background will help. In Jesus' time, Jewish children from about the age of 6 to 12 attended a primary school. It was called Bet Sefer, the house of the book. A primary school education where they learned the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and they learned it so that they could recite it off by heart. And most children would then leave their education and go and learn the family business, be that fishing, carpentry, farming, and so on. But the really, really good ones, they would carry on to the next level of education. And they would do Bet Midrash, and that was for ages 13 to 15, where their learning and their questioning would be developed. And students who excelled at this would then continue their education, and they would seek out a rabbi. Much as many young people today seek to go to college and university, they would apply to the rabbi, and they'd have to pass that rabbi's rigorous selection and questioning. Very, very few made it this far to what was called Bet Talmud. Only the best of the best, the sharpest, the keenest minds. A rabbi would only pick disciples who he thought could do what he was doing. Following a rabbi demanded absolute submission. Such students were to become like the rabbis. And this is a reality that Jesus echoed when he was teaching his disciples, when he said, "A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who has been fully trained will be like his teacher." That's the relationship between a rabbi and a disciple. So by now you'll have guessed, Jesus turned the rabbinic selection process on its head. Students normally sought out a rabbi, but Jesus, he chose his disciples. And moreover, he chose people who would not have expected to be called. Fishermen, with all respect to them, not exactly the educated elite. They probably did no more than the elementary education I mentioned a few moments ago, and certainly not the advanced education that was typical of rabbinic disciples. These were men who would have no expectation of studying under a rabbi. In fact, the time had been and gone for them, if it ever was. Imagine for a moment, imagine that you're not a highly educated graduate, as I assume you all are. Imagine that you've ducked out of school with just a few elementary qualifications to your name. You've got a fairly low level CV, no commercial skills or experience to talk of. But then Alan Sugar takes you on as his apprentice. Or alternatively, imagine that you have no musical background, no musical experience, never picked up an instrument, never sung, and Simon Cowell takes you on because he's going to train you to be the next new musical sensation. That's kind of what happened here. And just what would they have been thinking? You mean, this rabbi, he sees in me the potential to become like him. He thinks I'm good enough to be his disciple. The truth is, they wouldn't be able to fathom it. It was just so upside down from their experience and from their expectation. It's not how students studied under rabbis. A rabbi didn't select, didn't go out and choose his disciples, the way Jesus did. But they accept and they go. Is it the best offer they've ever had? Or are the men searching for something and willing to take a risk? Was it a relief, perhaps an honour to be called? Was it risky and foolhardy? Or are they hoping for some kind of social or political revolution that will benefit them? Get rid of the Romans, get rid of the Roman taxes, maybe get rid of some of those really oppressive landlords. What was their motivation? Well, we don't know, but there are a few key points here. They were called and they made a choice. They said yes to Jesus. And that meant saying no to other choices. They made a tough and courageous choice that some of the wealthy and educated elite couldn't or wouldn't make, as we see later on in the Gospels. And they gave up the things that made them feel safe and secure. Boats, nets, lines, sails, the things that they were successful at. The things that defined them. And they gave up their homes to go with someone who had no place to lay his head. So this is it. The call of Peter to follow Jesus. A call to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming. A call to life in all its fullness. A call to realign his life to the values of the kingdom. But Peter didn't know all that yet. This is the first calling of Peter, to follow Jesus, to be a disciple, to submit to Jesus, to become like Jesus, to be transformed by the teaching of Jesus, and subsequently by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The other calling comes later, when the disciples are sent out to all the world to make more disciples. Jesus calls the disciples first. He teaches them. He transforms them. And then he sends them out to be like rabbis, to be like him, and to make more disciples. He doesn't send them out unprepared or ill-equipped. In fact, what we see with Peter, some of which will be unpacked over the coming weeks, is transformation. We see transformation from Peter the fisherman to Peter the follower. He sometimes blunders a bit in his enthusiasm. To Peter who follows Jesus even onto the water. He steps out in faith. To Peter the prophet who recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say Moses or Elijah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, with prophetic insight, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then not long after that, he tries to discourage Jesus from his purpose and destiny and is rebuked. And then a little later, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter wants to build things, to do things, to build tabernacles, little tents, to hang around on this mountain, rather than just watching, being with Jesus and listening. To Peter, the denier of Jesus, not just once, not just twice, three times. To Peter, the restored. To Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. To Peter, the leader of the early church. Peter went through a whole series of experiences and learning that shaped him to be a disciple of the kingdom of God. A new way of being that offers life in every generation. A new way of being that stretches out to eternity. Peter was called first to listen, to be discipled, to learn from his rabbi, way before he was asked to lead the church. And Jesus saw something in him that even Peter didn't see. See, Jesus saw beyond the bluster and the enthusiasm. Jesus saw with eternal perspective. And he sees each one of you with eternal perspective. So often we think of calling as being special calling to ministry, to be a minister or be a missionary or some other great work. Actually, just as Jesus called Peter to be a disciple and to submit to him, to be shaped and transformed by him, He's calling each one of us to do the same, to submit, to learn, and to be transformed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, to be disciples of His kingdom and enjoy life in all its fullness. So what does this all mean for us today? Well, first of all, the first point I want to make is that Jesus has a much higher view of Peter and Andrew and the disciples and of you and of me than we have of ourselves. Jesus begins with that eternal perspective. He sees beyond our faults, beyond our sins, beyond our brokenness. Peter, enthusiastic, boisterous, prone to errors, jumping in where angels fear to tread. And yet Jesus calls him rock and says, "Feed my sheep." His statement to Peter and Andrew that you will be fishers of men is not just a jocular play on words or even a fanciful Sunday school motif. It is that eternal perspective. It is that looking to the future. You will be a fisher of men. And they probably didn't even know what he was on about until after Pentecost. Understand that God has a higher view of you than you have of yourself. He has a higher view of you and of what you can do. Secondly, whatever their motivation was, Peter and Andrew and the other disciples accepted and they went with Jesus. They made the choice. Now, we read the story with hindsight. We've got the benefit of knowing what happened. But they didn't. They didn't know they were following in the footsteps of Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. They made a choice and followed. Jesus is calling us to follow. He's calling you to follow. What is our choice? What is your choice? Now, following is about much more than just assent to a set of beliefs. It's active, dynamic, transformational. Jesus doesn't say, "Believe this about me," or to the disciples, "Tell me that you believe the Ten Commandments," or "Recite the Torah." He says, "Come, follow me, submit to me, learn from me, be transformed by me, become like me." Are we willing to let Jesus transform us? Now, I'm going to make a provocative statement. Perhaps, too often, our emphasis is too much on what we believe, rather than faithfully following. So where is God in our priorities? Do we just believe in Him? Or are we being discipled by Him? In our busy lives, it's assent to a few belief statements, a substitute to truly following Jesus and being a disciple. Just think about that for a moment. It's assent to a few belief statements, a substitute to truly following Jesus and being a disciple. Are we willing to make the time to let God work in us? You know, one of the problems I think we all have today is busyness and our priorities. Too busy to listen, too busy to let God work in us and transform us. So one of our challenges may be, what do we need to rearrange in order to spend time to listen to God, to walk with God, and to be discipled? See, God values us, each and every one of us. He sees us as having purpose and significance. So if you had a dream once and it's not been fulfilled, you have an opportunity still to live the dream with Jesus. We often want to know what our calling is. I had these discussions, I'm sure we've all had these discussions with each other. But often we want to know what our calling is without following, without being discipled, without submitting, without letting the Spirit of God dwell in us and transform us. You won't find your calling in Christ until you're willing to follow and learn from Him. I'll say that again. You won't find your calling in Christ until you're willing to learn from Him and follow Him. Now, I don't know what God's called you to or what God is calling you to. Whether it's being a faithful follower of Christ running a company or a shop, a faithful man or woman of God teaching in a school, a faithful disciple working in medicine or politics, or perhaps a missionary or minister. We're all called to be disciples. But I do know that any adventure with God is exciting. And whatever it is, it's in the line of the prophets. It's in the line of those people we mentioned earlier. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Mary, Peter, Paul. Where is God leading you? Well, as for age, we're never too young or too old. So don't let age be a deterrent to you to following Christ. Abraham, he was in his mid-70s when he responded to God's call in his life. Moses, he was in his 80s. Samuel, he was a boy, as was David. Isaiah, he was in his 30s or 40s. Jeremiah was a teenager. Mary was a young teenager. Peter, he was probably in his 20s, maybe his late 20s, possibly early 30s. And Paul, he was the same, 20s and 30s. Age doesn't matter. God uses anyone at any age. We just need to be willing to follow, to submit, to learn, and to be changed and transformed. So where are you in this? Calling. It's about choice. It's about risk. It's about destiny. Jesus is saying to you, come, follow me. Are we willing to leave our nets and follow Jesus? Are we willing to be discipled, changed and transformed? Are we willing to let His vision take root in us? Are we willing to live the adventure with God? Or do we prefer the safety and security of the boats, nets and lines that we know? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We thank You for Your call to each one of us. Lord, may we respond faithfully to You. May You work out Your purposes in our lives. And may we be open-hearted to You and what You want to work in us, changing us from the inside out, so that as we live daily, wherever we find ourselves, at home, at college, school, in the workplace, in the hospital, wherever we find ourselves, we are Your faithful disciples, living, working, and worshipping to Your praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, Amen.